In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is something about a mountain, especially those high mountains that stand alone, like the mountain in the gospel reading this morning, Mount Tabor. What are mountains for? Mountains are for ascending and for descending. The ascending of the holy mountain to be in the presence of God, and to descend from the holy mountain into the world to bring the blessings of God upon all of the people. That is our Christian calling. It is our human calling, right from the beginning. There are some things that probably we have forgotten or maybe never learned. Recently, I've had the excruciating pleasure of reading Archbishop Alexander's book, Mystagogy, where he reveals the meaning of the writings of St. Dionysius the Areopagite. Those writings have been admired and taken as the background of so much of our life in the church from those early centuries when they were written. But they have been very little understood, especially in modern times. But Archbishop Alexander brings the meaning out from them and reveals it in a way that no one had ever done before. An incredible accomplishment. One of the things that he points out is that in the book of Ezekiel, Eden, the original place of the garden, is spoken of as the holy mountain. In Ezekiel, God is speaking, and he says, I set you on the holy mountain of God, where you were blameless from the day you were created until you sinned and filled your secret rooms with lawlessness. So you were cast wounded from the mountain of God, and the cherub brought you out. Because of your sins, I cast you to the ground. When Moses ascends Mount Sinai, he is returning to be in the presence of God, out of which Adam and Eve, the first parents, had been cast out. When Solomon ascends the Temple Mount and descends through the temple into the hidden place, the Holy of Holies, he is returning to that high place in the presence of God where Adam and Eve had been cast out. And on that day, when Jesus, the Christ, the incarnate Son of God, took Peter, James, and John up the mountain to the top of Mount Tabor, he was fulfilling something that he had said to Photini, the woman that he met at the well. There was that conversation about where God is truly worshipped. On the mountain Photini was used to going to as a Samaritan, or the mountain in Jerusalem. And Jesus tells her, he says, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father, but a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such as these to worship him. God is seeking those who worship him from within. God is seeking those who worship him by ascending the inner mountain in order to be in his presence within themselves, so that heaven is within you, as Jesus says. The kingdom of God is meant to be within you. This is how a human being was created. And so, in order to return to the garden, which Christ makes possible, For each one of us, within ourselves, we must ascend within ourselves that inner mountain. Why do we do things as we do in the divine liturgy? It is to ascend both within and externally into the presence of God, to ascend that high mountain by doing the things that we do together. We together ascend into the presence of God, but not just externally, internally. In the divine liturgy, the things that are physical, that are here so that we can participate through them as the physical beings that we are, as the physical and spiritual at the same time beings that we are, so that we can ascend internally into the presence of God. We do it all together so that we can do it within ourselves without focusing on ourselves, but instead focusing on doing the task of ascension that is the work of the divine liturgy. Each time the priest comes through the deacon's door out into the church out here on the Amvon, the understanding is that those of us who have united ourselves to Christ move along with Christ, who moves through the priest. The priest is doing the movement from one place to another in the divine liturgy that we all share in. He comes out, descending from the mountain of the presence of Christ at the altar, the high place, down into the level space where all of us gather at the foot of the mountain, intending to ascend into the presence of Christ, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. First, we do it all together during the liturgy of the Word, the liturgy of the catechumens, where all are gathered together in order to ascend into the presence of God, to hear the Word of God. And the Gospel is read, and all of us hear the Word of God. And then we begin to make the movement toward an ultimate ascension into the presence of God in order to receive His life from His hand Himself. And that's what's happening at the great entrance. All of us move together because we are at one with and can move along together with Christ, the priest who is in the priesthood of Christ. It's not about that particular priest. There has to be someone who is ordained to do what must be done, what must happen, so that we can all participate in the movement in this physical world, but in this special place that is sanctified to do the divine liturgy, to make these movements, to make the movement within ourselves into the presence of God, to ascend within ourselves into the presence of God. All of the things that we do, all of the things that we sing, participate in that ultimate worship of God that takes place in the kingdom of heaven, that is within us, but not just within us. It includes all of the heavenly hosts and all of the saints, so that what is outside in the divine liturgy and what is inside is at one with the worship of God by the heavenly hosts and all the saints, and we physically participate in that worship. Archbishop Alexander quotes Dionysius the Areopagite in a way that is especially meaningful and significant for the things that we are saying here. Sometimes when we modern people, Westerners that we are, think about Christ, we think about Him first as a man who has something holy, the divinity of God in Him. Or, if we are able to go so far, we think of Him as God, but God who also is able to act as a human being through His body. This isn't the way Christ is understood in the ancient and unchanging holy Christian faith. And Dionysius says this perfectly. Archbishop Alexander quotes him in saying these words: Christ did not do what is divine as God, nor what is human as man, but instead, as God having become man, He has made for us a new divine human activity. He has made for us a new divine human activity. And we can act in that human divine activity. It's what it means to be Christians. We come through the divine liturgy to do that. Having ascended and worshiped God in the high place, received his body and blood, we descend, we go out into the world in order to love with the love that Christ loves with, in order to love others with the love that God has loved us with, to be able to bring them into this communion with God that we now bear within ourselves. The revelation of Christ as Dionysius describes him, having become man, the one who came to make us a new divine human activity so that we can worship in spirit and truth, so that we can live lives in spirit and truth after we descend from the mountain, after we descend and return into the world. The revelation of Christ happens on Mount Tabor. Peter, James, and John, they aren't ready to receive it, to understand. They are knocked down by the voice of God and by the brightness of the revelation of Christ. It's important to realize that this is not the revelation of a divinity that is present in Christ, Jesus, that somehow belongs to him. It is a revelation of him himself. He is this unique being, the incarnation of God. The Son of God forever became incarnate. And he reveals himself. By revealing himself, he reveals himself as a pathway for our humanity through him, through his divine human humanity. We worship as we do in order to enter into his divine human humanity. Whenever we enter through the royal doors, for all of us are entering through the royal doors, as the priest enters through the royal doors, we are entering between his incarnation, the icon on the left from where you are seated, and his second coming, the icon on the other side of the royal doors. We enter between time and eternity into the presence of God within ourselves. This isn't something that we are claiming takes place just out in the world physically and we're just kind of observers and, oh, these Orthodox, they think they are entering into the presence of God, into the kingdom of heaven. What's the matter with them thinking in such a strange way? It is because Christ has made this possible within us through his presence within us. We have been united to him internally, not just by external actions that somehow affect us from outside, but because of the fact that God has created human beings for oneness with him. Christ has come into the world and made it possible for us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And it is the revelation of the uniqueness of his incarnation and the promise that he, as the one that he is, holds out for us, that is revealed to us on this day, the feast day of the Transfiguration, the full revelation of the presence of Christ God in our humanity, the one who is fully God and fully man, uniquely himself, the new Adam. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.